First Peter 5 and the Word of God there. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The text for tonight's sermon is found in verse 5, the last part of the verse. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Be clothed with humility. What did you wear to church tonight? That's the question with which we're faced here in the Word of God. What do you wear when you go off to work in the morning? Not what clothes do you wear on your body, but what spiritual clothes do you wear then? What do you wear at home as parents, as husbands and wives? This clothing or something else? Peter is speaking here to us as pilgrims and strangers. He uses that phrase, in fact, in chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Dressing us as spiritual strangers and pilgrims here in the world, Peter has here in chapter 5 some very practical advice for us. And especially in verses 5 through 9. He says to us there, as pilgrims, strangers, that there are especially three things important if we are to make that pilgrimage as we ought. First place, he says, wear the right clothing. And that's our text this evening. Then he says, and anyone who's done any serious hiking or walking understands the value of this advice. Then he says, don't try to carry too much on your pilgrimage. And finally adds, and beware of your enemies. Watch out for lions, especially the great lion himself. Very practical advice and entirely suited to our calling as pilgrims and strangers. We're going to look at the first part of that good advice this evening. Wear the right clothing. Be clothed as pilgrims and strangers with humility. And lest we think that that advice is not that important, he adds, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So the theme of this evening's sermon is taken right from the text, clothed with humility. And we're going to be taking a close look at that clothing, that spiritual clothing that we're called to put on here. And then another look at our calling to put on that spiritual clothing. Be clothed with humility, Peter says. And finally, we're going to look at the value of that clothing, because you will not find in all the world clothing so valuable as this. In fact, it really is beyond price. Clothing like nothing you can buy here on earth. Clothing that was purchased with a price no one of us could possibly have paid. Those three things tonight. So what's that clothing like? That's the first question we have to answer. What is humility? The word Peter uses, translated clothed, is a word that refers to the distinctive clothing of a slave. In the days when this epistle was written, now, of course, you can't tell by looking at someone's clothing what position they have in society or what work they do, not ordinarily. But in those days, you could. And that was true also of a slave. He wore clothing that marked him as a slave, a kind of smock or apron that only slaves wore. And the word that Peter uses here refers to that clothing and reminds us of the fact that humility is, first of all, being a servant, a slave, a spiritual servant or slave. A slave or servant of God, but also of others. In fact, that's what Peter is emphasizing. That's why you read in the first part of our text, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be servants of one another. Be one another's slaves. And that's quite something when you stop and think about it. Husband, of course, is the head of his home and of his family. But he's called here to be subject to his wife and to his children. The elders rule the church of Christ. But Peter is referring to them too when he says, all of you, be subject one to another. Even though you have the authority of Christ as an elder in the church, be a servant of God's people. Paul knew what Peter was talking about. 2 Corinthians 4, he says, as a minister of the gospel, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Though I'm a preacher of the gospel and an apostle, I am also a servant of every one of you. That's humility. Humility in practice. And if you know anything about what it means to be a slave, then there are some things that stand out as far as that's concerned. If you're a servant, a slave, then you don't expect anything in return for what you do. You do your duty, and if no one notices, no one praises you, no one thanks you, then that doesn't matter because you're a slave. And that's, of course, what it means for us. As far as humility is concerned, we do our duty in all the different areas of our life, but it doesn't matter if we receive no praise, no thanks, no appreciation for what we've done. We're servants of one another. Servant is one who doesn't have anything that he can call his own. Even his life isn't really his own. Everything he is, everything he has, belongs to his master. And that's what it means to be a servant in the kingdom of Christ. Your time, your abilities, nothing you have is really your own, but belongs to Christ. And because it belongs to him, it has to be used in his service first of all, and then also in the service of others. Not me first, but my master first, and then the others to whom he sends me, and only then, finally, myself. That's what it means to be a servant and what it means to be humble. What others want is more important than what I want. What others have is more important than what I have. That's what it means, by the way, to be a neighbor in the Bible. And so on. That's humility. Be clothed with humility means, yea, all of you be subject one to another. I'm going to come back to that, but I think you get the idea. But I want to take a closer look at that clothing that's referred to as humility here, a closer look at that. If you really take it and examine it closely, then you'll see that that clothing that's called humility, that spiritual clothing, is woven, first of all, out of a knowledge of the glory of God. That's just another way of saying that humility comes, first of all, from knowing how great and glorious and majestic and gracious God is. If you really know Him, then it's impossible to be proud before Him or to think too much of yourself. In His presence, knowing how great and glorious He is, we feel like Abraham when he was pleading with Lot and referred to himself in relation to God as nothing but dust and ashes. So that's part of the fabric of humility, the knowledge of the glory and majesty of God Himself. But that clothing that we call humility is also woven out of a knowledge of my own depravity and sin. If I examine myself, see myself honestly in the light of God's Word, then too it's impossible to be proud of myself or to think too much of myself. Because when I look at myself, then there, in my own heart, I see the reality of what the Bible says about depravity and sin. I don't see that when I look at others, not very clearly, because I don't know their motives. I don't know what's in their hearts. I don't really see they do wicked things, but I don't really see the depth of their depravity because I see only what they do and hear only what they say and can't see any deeper than that. And so too, if I'm charitable as I ought to be, then I can make excuses for them. They don't know any better. They don't have the instruction that I've had. They haven't been taught from the Word of God as I have. But when I look into my own heart, if I'm honest with myself, then I see there that what the Word of God says about the depravity and deceitfulness of the human heart is true. I see how I sin with better knowledge. I see how I sin in the place and calling God has given me. I look into my own heart and I can see that I don't just do wicked things, but that what Jeremiah says in chapter 17 is true, that my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Except, of course, for the grace of God in regeneration. I look into my own heart, and if I'm honest and let the light of the Word of God shine into my heart, then I find no excuse for what I've done. It's only in the Word of God, you understand, and only in my own heart that I could see the reality of depravity and sin. Not in others, but in myself. And that's part of the fabric out of which humility is woven. The knowledge of my own sinfulness and the knowledge of God's amazing and infinite glory as Creator, as Savior, as Judge, none like Him. And then I'm truly humble. But only that. And that's the reason, too, of course, why thinking of humility as a kind of clothing that we ought to wear, you can't buy that clothing anywhere. The world is all about self-esteem, about my accomplishments, about the fact that I'm, in one way or another, better than others. And the result of that is, of course, that the world and those who belong to the world are forever striving for mastery in this or that or something else. But the child of God is called, you are called, and I am called to be clothed with humility. In relation to God, but here also in relation to one another. And that means wearing the clothing of a servant. But that clothing too, if I may put it that way, has woven into it that clothing that we call humility and must put on as members of the church, as husbands and wives, as parents, in all the relationships of life. That clothing has running through it the golden thread of Christ's finished work. In fact, that's really what makes that cloth one and makes it so beautiful. And that's the reason, too, why when I'm clothed with humility, I look a little bit like Him. That's the clothing that we're called to put on here. And that's why I asked you and ask myself too, what did you wear to church this evening? Peter says, put it on. And he says that because we don't always have that clothing on. There are times when I come to church, and before I make any attempt to worship God, I really need to go aside for a few minutes and change my spiritual clothing. If, for example, I'm in church and the word is preached, and I'm thinking to myself the whole time that the word is preached, boy, so-and-so really needed to hear this. Or if they're not there, I wish he or she was here to hear this word of God. And never apply that word to myself. Then I'm wearing the wrong clothing. The wrong spiritual clothing in the worship of God. If I sit under the preaching of the word with a critical attitude, listening for the minister to make a mistake and say something that I can latch onto as proof that he's not orthodox or something like that, I'm not wearing the right clothing in church. If I leave the building after the worship service is over and leave it with a kind of sneer and say, I didn't get anything out of that, then I haven't had the right clothing on in church. Because the fact of the matter is, if I have this clothing on in the worship of God, then, I've said that before, even if I receive nothing and God is glorified in the worship of the church, it has been a good worship service. And I ought not go away saying that I got nothing out of it and complaining about my place in the worship of God. That's the kind of thing that Peter is warning against here. He's warning ministers of the word who think that they're the only ones who know anything and who can't even listen to the other members of the church and what they have to say. A minister may have a nice suit on, but he's not wearing the right spiritual clothing if that's his attitude in bringing the Word of God. He's talking about the minister who thinks because he's been to seminary and had some instruction there, and that's a good thing, but who thinks that because he's been to seminary, he has to run the show in the church and just simply pushes the elders and the deacons aside. He's not clothed with humility. He doesn't have the attitude that Paul had when he said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. He's talking here or warning the elders in the church. He's just addressed them in the previous verses. He's warning them against thinking that the office of elder is somehow or other a measure of their own importance. And you understand that there are men who seek office in the church for that reason, or who are elected to office in the church, not because they're wearing this clothing, but because of the place they have in society and because of their earthly accomplishments. Be clothed with humility. It's talking about members of the church who look down on others. James talks about that too. Look down on others because they're not dressed quite right. They're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and they're coming also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? That's a member who lacks humility, and who's not, in the words of our text, wearing the right clothing. Or who's a member of the church and looks down on others simply because of the color of their skin or the language they speak or their nationality or something like that. That man, or that woman, as the case may be, has never even caught a glimpse of the clothing that Peter is talking about here. Person who thinks in the church or in his own home that everyone else is there to cater to him, to serve his needs, to measure up to his standards, to do what he wants, has never worn the clothing that Peter talks about here. He's talking about husbands when he says, be clothed with humility. Talking about husbands who think that because they're the head of their home, they can run roughshod over their wives and treat their wives like dirt. Talking about the wife who thinks that because her husband doesn't quite measure up spiritually to her standards, that she has the right to usurp his authority and take over the spiritual life of the home. Peter's talking to her when he says, be clothed with humility. Talking about the woman who, dissatisfied with her calling as a wife and mother, thinks that she's not fulfilled. Oh, I hate that word. Not fulfilled. Unless she has a career of some kind. Be clothed with humility. He's talking about children who think that they have to grab the biggest and the best for whatever reason, and who have not yet learned what humility is, and certainly not learned that though they may be the oldest, nevertheless, their calling is to be subject one to another. And on and on and on. Because all too often, coming to church, going about our business in the home, going off to work even, we go to our business wearing the wrong spiritual clothing. How do I put on that clothing in obedience to the Word of God here? Well, that comes about, first of all, through prayer. in prayer, in the presence of God, I learn humility and learn what clothes I ought to be wearing. And when I pray for others, then I put on that clothing too, because it's impossible for me to think proudly in relation to them when I'm praying for them and for their needs and for their life. Then at least I'm starting to do what Peter says when he says, all of you be subject one to another. Then it's not me only in my prayers, but others also. And their needs, their cares, their trials. I'm clothed with humility and put on that clothing too. It goes back to what I said earlier. When I practice self-examination, really, it's not self-examination, you know. What we call self-examination is examination of myself, but I'm not the one who does it. True self-examination is carried on by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. But when I practice that and go to the Scriptures and apply them to myself and let them step on my toes where that's necessary, encourage and help me when I'm utterly unable to help myself, then I'm clothing myself, being clothed, putting on this important spiritual clothing. And I do that too when I learn from the Word of God those great truths that we talked about earlier. Be clothed with humility by paying attention to all that the Scriptures teach of the greatness and majesty of God, by paying attention in faith to what Scripture says about your own depravity and sin, and by believing what the Scriptures teach of Jesus Christ and His unique work of salvation. Then I'm obeying the command of the Word of God here. Be clothed with humility. Important? Already mentioned the fact that in the last part of the verse, you read, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know what it's saying? To put it as simply and bluntly as I can, it means that God is going to make your pilgrimage as difficult as He possibly can if you're wearing the wrong clothing. It's difficult anyway. But He'll stand in your way, as He did in Balaam's way, when you're not wearing the right spiritual clothing. But that only magnifies the rest of what Peter says. He gives grace to the humble. Doesn't make that long pilgrimage to heaven any less difficult than it is. No journey more difficult than that. But He gives grace for all the trials and struggles and difficulties of that journey. So be clothed with humility. But that's not the most important reason. Peter doesn't mention it specifically, but it lies there behind the Word of God. The great reason for what the Word of God requires of us here is, first of all, the fact that this clothing, so unique, so beautiful, so precious, was purchased for you. That's why you won't find it in the world. That's why there's no price on earth that can buy this simple virtue. It had to be purchased with the blood of the Son of God Himself. And surely, 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 Peter has that in mind when he says, be clothed with humility. Do you and I dare to wear any other spiritual clothing in our homes or in the church or even in the world but this? If this was purchased with the blood of the Son of God. And then two, of course. And that's the most amazing thing of all. He not only purchased this clothing for us by a life of submission and humility to the will of God, but this was the clothing he wore for your salvation when he was on earth. What does Philippians say of him who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant? How then can I ever, ever wear any other spiritual clothing but what he wore for me and for my salvation? Be clothed, husbands, wives, children, parents, elders, ministers, members of the church, be clothed with humility. And in that way, be good pilgrims too, and experience the truth of what the Word of God says here, that though God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. And be like Christ. Be clothed like him with humility until that day comes when you wear in his presence the white robes of his righteousness, shining with his glory forever. Something for all of us to take home, isn't it? Amen.